one of the last times Celia and I attended a church service, we were totally blown away, and not in a good way. That's because the worship leader admitted to us, without shame, that she couldn't sing harmony. And she was actually laughing when she told us. That's sad. But I think I know why. I'm Ken Boone, and welcome to my podcast, Much More to Say. When Mike and I were kids, we sang in what became known as the Boys Choir of Harlem. Now, rehearsals took place Saturday afternoons at our church, which was located at the corner of Lenox Avenue and 123rd Street in Harlem, USA. To get there, we had to take the 101 bus line that put us off just two blocks away from the church. On our way to the bus stop, we would pass Poor Richard's Park, which was a tiny cutout on the corner of 3rd Avenue and 109th Street in East Harlem, also known as Spanish Harlem. It was there we would hear musicians playing what's known as a descarga, D-E-S-C-A-R-G-A. Descargas are improvised jam sessions consisting of variations on Cuban music themes such as Son Montuno, Carija, Borero, Guaracha, and Rumba. Hope I didn't butcher it that bad, or too bad. The genre is strongly influenced by jazz, and it was developed in Havana during the 1950s. The instruments typically used are piano, double bass, percussion sections, horn sections, tres, flute, and violin. The descargas we heard on the streets of East Harlem were usually performed by a percussion section and joined by vocals chanting the chorus, typically in beautiful three-part harmony. Less than a block from our stop, we would pass Lehman Music Company shop, located on 125th Street between 5th Avenue and Lenox Avenue. Now, in addition to selling everything from sheet music to violins to trumpets and more, Lehman would spin records on their house stereo system. One of the speakers would be pointed outside, playing the latest in contemporary gospel music. The stop we got off the bus is known as the Heart of Harlem, which is the corner of 125th Street and Lenox Avenue, also named Malcolm X Boulevard. It was there that our ears would be serenaded by the latest R&B, soul, southern, and urban gospel music. Now, the source of that music was the legendary Rainbow Music Record Store, a small, actually tiny, storefront with an oversized influence in the world of black music. At the time, Mike and I were unaware of the nationwide significance of the three spots we passed on our way to choir rehearsals. But we did know that the music we absorbed would stay with us forever. While doing research for this episode, I came across a Wikipedia blurb about something called the Harlem Hit Parade Rankings. I learned that since 1942, Billboard magazine used sales from certain Harlem record stores as the source of the nationwide charts covering jazz, blues, soul, and gospel. Two of those stores that they collected data from were Lehman Music and Rainbow Music. Now, I admit that while we did learn a lot by singing in the choir, as well as through congregational singing on Saturday mornings, most of our musical education took place outside the four walls of the church. I give the church credit for teaching discipline and stage awareness, but the rest was learned in the streets. Now, since my formal musical education was rather limited, I had to be creative in order to get a decent musical education. So I learned by doing a lot of listening. And since I wasn't blessed with a great musical ear, the process was slow and painfully annoying. But I was endowed with relative pitch and a good head for numbers, making it possible to eventually have the information stick. Most of my listening lessons took place at the Lehman Music Company store, who sold mostly classical and contemporary gospel music. After hearing my first Andre Crouch and the Disciples album in 1974, again, shout out to Mr. Freddie Odom, I visited that store every week for the next 5 years. I went there so much that they knew me by name. And I wasn't just browsing the bins. I spent most of my disposable income there on any vinyl LP release on Light Records and any sheet music published by Lexicon Music. Thank goodness the music included guitar tabs, or I would have been really screwed. The guys who I refer to as my musical rivals also figured things out musically the same way that I did. But unlike me, they frequented Rainbow Music down the block. Their musical taste leaned towards Southern and urban gospel, which was Rainbow's forte. While these stores were neighborhood institutions, neither one of them is still around. I just learned that Rainbow closed its doors for good in 2002. Lehman has also gone out of business, although I haven't been able to find out when. Now that's sad, because today's young musicians could really benefit from their existence. Mike was fortunate in that he got a world-class music education. Starting with private piano lessons during his childhood, he went on to attend Music and Art High School, now known as the High School for the Performing Arts in New York City. His teen years were also supplemented with private lessons on double bass. Mike then earned his degree from the Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York. Now, while those entities provided a fantastic foundation in scales, modes, arpeggios, and concertos, it was what he learned in the streets and bandstands that made him the accomplished musician he is today. Mike also learned a lot by listening. When he was still living in New York City, his record store of choice was J&R Music World. In fact, when I decided that it was finally time to expand my limited musical palette, Mike suggested I check out J&R. And I wasn't disappointed. Unfortunately, as with the other two record stores I mentioned previously, J&R is no longer in business. For them, the end came in 2014. Now that was around the time when digital sales such as downloads and streaming began outpacing physical sales such as CDs and vinyl. And I don't know if we're better off now that everything is instant, at a keystroke, at a click. I don't know. Which brings me back to the opening section of this episode. As I said, Celia and I were stunned when a local worship leader admitted that she couldn't sing harmony. I was confused because I just finished listening to one of their sets. The songs were so easy that anyone in my peer group, friends and rivals alike, could have picked out four-part harmony totally on the fly. There are a number of reasons for this growing trend, and I've discussed some of them on past episodes. Today's reason I give you is that, like in the schools, music education in many churches leaves a lot to be desired. Or better yet, are their shortcomings finally getting exposed? I think I'll go with the latter. In the best of times, churches only have access to the talent for few hours per week. And while that's enough time to teach you the songs you'll be performing during the service, there's not much time for anything else. Also, you can tell that the musicians don't seem to put in the time to listen to other styles of music on their own time. There's also the preferred genre of music they're using these days. All you need is a person on acoustic guitar who can play four chords, carry a tune, and read lyrics from the screen to be able to pull it off. Even I can do that, minus the four chords on acoustic guitar, or anything on guitar for that matter. Another problem is that church attendance is no doubt in decline. Surveys point to the political overtones that have crept into both the pews and the pulpits across the country. A number of churches have started the process of formally dislodging themselves from their governing denominations. It's a mess, but that's humanity for you. I'm convinced that the lack of care put in musical presentation plays a much larger role in the church's woes than we admit. While true that tastes are subjective, a large number of potential congregants find the new music boring. Now, personally, I don't mind listening to or even playing the styles that are popular today, as long as I can spice up the arrangements. You see, a little seasoning goes a long way. Some people point to the decline of the choir. Various reasons for the decline have been cited, including the money and time it takes to assemble a good choir, a lack of participation and interest, a lack of leadership, and a desire to connect with younger audiences through other sorts of music. The music my brother and I heard on the way to choir rehearsals had a profound impact on who we became as musicians. But I'd be remiss if I didn't credit the choir for instilling a sense of discipline and teamwork. Stage fright wasn't a concern since we performed in front of large crowds at a very early age. To end this episode, I'd like to read a portion of a review of Mike's latest CD titled Enjoying the View that was written by journalist Eugene Holly Jr. And it goes like this. One of the new releases I'm digging now is Enjoying the View by the New York-born, Eastman-trained, Philadelphia-area-based bassist Mike Boone. An African-American who grew up in Spanish Harlem, enjoying the oral salsa, funk, jazz, and R&B views he heard in El Barrio. Mr. Holly goes on to write that Mike's bass lines provide the magic carpet for all the CD's musical genres to fly on, from Frank Emilio Flynn's Afro-Cuban classic Sandunga and Pee-wee Ellis's funky number The Chicken to Boone's New Yorican versions of Stevie Wonder's Lately, Benny Golson's Killer Joe, and a clave-coated reimagination of the George Benson hit Give Me the Night. And for my two cents, my personal favorite is the gospel-influenced title track, simply named The View. The salsa-influenced ballad features some of the most gorgeous background parts I've ever heard all sung by Antonio McClendon, father of Grammy Award winner Samara Joy. Listening to Mike's CD reminds me of those weekly trips from my East Harlem apartment to choir rehearsal back in the 1960s and 1970s. While the religion of my youth frowned upon partaking in secular activities on our day of worship, the road to and from church was lined with the real spiritual food we needed to get us through life in the concrete jungle we knew as home. Today's quote is from American guitar legend Eddie Van Halen. "Music kept me off the streets and out of trouble, and gave me something that was mine that no one could take away from me." Until next time, this is Ken Boone. Thanks for listening.
We invite you to visit our website, muchmoretosay.weebly.com. That's much more, the number two, say.weebly.com.
While you're there, be sure to check out our brand new blog, where you will find audio, video, post, essays, and the latest news and notes.
You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Episodes are available on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Podcast. So like, comment, share, and join the conversation. This has been a production of the Descant MMG Podcast Network.